Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Follow the science. That has become a very popular mantra today. If you want to discredit someone when they don't agree with you, just say, he doesn't follow the science. Science is the new religion, and you dare not challenge it. The problem is, some of what is being peddled as science is not really very scientific at all. The Cambridge Dictionary defines science as knowledge from the careful study of the structure and behavior of the physical world, especially by watching, measuring, and doing experiments, and the development of theories to describe the results of these activities. Some ideas are based more on political correctness and wishful thinking than careful study and observation. They skip true science and move straight to theory. Now, when the church held most of the power in Western society, it punished those who disagreed with its doctrines. If someone did not agree with church doctrine, policy, or politics, they were labeled as a heretic and shunned, condemned, or even burned at the stake. Those included were people like John Huss, Joan of Arc, and William Tyndale. The method of religious and political power to silence people has a long history. The Jews tried to kill Jesus several times because his words were deemed heresy. Eventually, he was crucified after a mob was stirred up to condemn him and a mock trial was carried out. Make no mistake, Jesus said at that time, "No one has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own." However, the people in power were threatened by his words and his very being. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, "None of the rulers of this world understood, for if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They were not seeing things from God's point of view. Jesus interfered with their agenda, but God had an agenda of his own. The church has had a long history of conflict with science. Copernicus claimed that the earth orbited around the sun, not vice versa. And his book, Revolutions, about that subject, was banned by the church. Galileo was issued an injunction not to hold, defend, or teach geocentricity, which is that the earth revolved around the sun. Of course, I run into people all the time who think the universe revolves around them. I call it egocentricity. Science is today's religion. So, to not follow science is to be an infidel. If you disagree with so-called science, you are the heretic. But this has not always been the case. There have been many prominent scientists who believed in God. Einstein believed in God. He said, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." He also said, "I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus." Einstein said that. Here are some names of other scientists who believed in God. Leonardo da Vinci wrote about architecture, anatomy, biology, physics, and aeronautics. And he painted the Annunciation, or the announcement to Mary by the angel, the baptism of Jesus, and one of his most famous works, The Last Supper, which I have seen in person, and it is profoundly inspirational. Francis Bacon, father of empiricism, that is, that knowledge comes primarily from sensory experience, said, "The scriptures are laid before us to reveal the will of God and prevent our falling into error." Pascal, who developed the theory of probabilities, was famous for Pascal's wager, which is, if the believer is right, he has gained everything. If he is wrong, he has lost nothing. If the unbeliever is right, he has gained nothing. But if he is wrong, he has lost everything. Someone challenged me with this wager, and as a result, I became a believer at the age of 16. Isaac Newton, mathematician, physicist, and astronomer, said, "We account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history whatsoever." Samuel Morse, inventor of the telegraph and developer of the Morse code, whose first message sent over the wire quoted Numbers 23:23, saying, "What hath God wrought?" Morse said, "The nearer I approach the end of my pilgrimage, the clearer is the evidence of the divine origin of the Bible, and the grandeur and sublimity of God's remedy for fallen man are more appreciated, and the future is illumined with hope and joy." Louis Pasteur, father of microbiology, who developed numerous vaccines and, of course, pasteurization, said, "The more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. I pray while I am engaged at my work in the laboratory." Werner Heisenberg, who won the Nobel Prize in Physics for the creation of quantum mechanics, said, "I have repeatedly been compelled to ponder the relationship of science and religion." He once wrote to Einstein, "We can console ourselves that the Lord God would know the position of the subatomic particles. Thus, he would let the causality principle continue to have validity." Wernher von Braun, the original rocket scientist, said, "An outlook of the universe should only confirm our belief in the certainty of its creator. I find it as difficult to understand a science who does not acknowledge the presence of a superior rationality behind the existence of the universe as it is to comprehend a theologian who would deny the advances of science." On Christmas Eve, December 24, 1968, three wise men, the crew of the Apollo 8, Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman, read from Genesis 1 as they orbited the moon. Anders began, "We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of the Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Then Lovell, 'And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters, which were under the firmament, from the waters, which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." And then Borman, "And God said, 'Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good." And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth. Renowned atheist Anthony Flew wrote the book There Is No God, with the word no crossed out and a big red A on top of it, so the title was There Is a God. In it, he addressed questions like, who wrote the laws of nature? There are regularities in nature that are mathematically precise, universal, and tied together. Did something come from nothing? Whether there is a single universe or a multiverse, that is, many universes, it all had to have a beginning. Even the Big Bang theory falls flat, because the subatomic particles and radiation had to come from somewhere. Actually, that theory has it backwards. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So actually, it will all end with a big bang. Psalm 8 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you think of him, and the son of man that you are concerned about him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and majesty. You have him rule over the works of your hands. You have put everything under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the animals of the field, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes through the paths of the seas, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 139 says, for you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Observation of the physical world, or science, will increase faith when seen through an unbiased lens. To believe that this world and this universe and all of the order we see in it has design without a designer takes a huge leap of faith. 2 Corinthians 4 says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they will not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In the postmodern era, science has taken over the role of authority, and religion has become passé. The university has replaced the church. Evolution has replaced creation. Human life has become just so much chemicals void of spiritual life or meaning. An unborn human became tissue, only of value when harvested. Absolute truth evaporated, and moral law became irrelevant. But because science involves experimentation and theory, it changes. And what people believe changes accordingly. Here are some examples of science changing. Aristotle believed in spontaneous generation, which was not disproved until Louis Pasteur in the 19th century. Isaac Newton believed in alchemy, as did many until the 18th century. It was once believed that the body contained four humors, blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm. It was believed that the right balance of these four humors made a person healthy, but an excess or decrease in one of these would cause illness. Because of this belief, treatments of sickness included bloodletting, purges, and induced vomiting. This also gave birth to the concept of the four temperaments, sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic, popularized by the Christian writer Tim LaHaye. Phrenology, that is measuring the contour of the skull to predict personality traits, was practiced through the 19th century. And the key to Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection was that favorable traits are passed on through genes, That has since been rejected. And even the Big Bang theory has been refuted. The age of Earth, when dinosaurs lived and died, how they died, and many other scientific facts are constantly changing. One of my favorite examples is the coelacanth, or the so-called walking fish, thought to have become extinct around 66 million years ago. When fossils were found with four fins on the bottom of the body, it was assumed that these were feet to walk on, and at last they had found the transitional form. And then the coelacanth was rediscovered in the 20th century off the coast of South Africa. National Geographic did a cover story about this mysterious sea dweller, in which the author and a camera crew spent weeks locating, studying, and filming the species. They observed the fish eating, breeding, even swimming upside down and standing on its head, hoping to catch it in the act of walking on the bottom of the sea. The article concluded by saying, "We observed many wonderful behaviors, but alas, the coelacanth never walked. It seems the fins on the bottom of the fish were just for swimming." I could almost hear the heavy sigh of the reporter as I read that article. No doubt, you've read about the lost continent of Atlantis. Well, in the 16th century, European experts in geography were convinced that California was an island separated from North American mainland, and the maps were drawn accordingly. We might want to bring that one back. In the 19th century, "rain follows the plow" was a saying. It was the name of a climatology theory that human settlements caused an increase in rainfall. It was an earlier version of man-made climate change. Of course, later realized that there was no science to hold up that theory. Pluto was discovered in 1930 and declared the ninth planet. Interestingly, the Disney cartoon character was named that year as well. But in 2006, Pluto was declared a dwarf planet. I reject bias based on one's body size. For me, Pluto is still the ninth planet. It was believed the sound barrier could not be broken by a human being until 1947, when Chuck Yeager climbed into the Bell X-1 and broke the sound barrier. The existence of race categories was taught by anthropologists until the 20th century, using race as a biological explanation for differences in psychology, intelligence, physical ability, and socioeconomic separation between groups of people. Of course, now we have critical race theory, which actually discriminates against Caucasians. Here's my take on racism. The human race is systemically ethnocentric. Tribes have been claiming superiority all through history. Babylon, Egypt, Greece, and Rome built societies with slave labor. Aristotle said that Greeks are free by nature while non-Greeks are slaves because they are more willing to submit to despots. The Jews did not associate with Samaritans, whom they considered to be half-breeds. It is said that a first-century rabbi would thank God he was not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. The Spanish Inquisition lasted over 350 years. England has fought wars with Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. And don't forget the 100 Years' War with France. Japan and China have had several wars. Native American tribes often fought each other, notably the Lakota or Sioux and the Cheyenne. The Armenian genocide in Turkey killed over 1 million people, nearly wiping them all out. There was a great film a few years ago starring Oscar Isaac, you know, Poe from Star Wars. The movie's called The Promise. I'd recommend watching it. It was very similar to the Holocaust, in which Hitler's Nazis killed 6 million Jews and millions of other unwanted people groups. 500,000 Tutsi were murdered in Rwanda, and Idi Amin killed another 500,000 based on ethnicity. Apartheid lasted in South Africa until the 90s. 2.7 million people were displaced and tens of thousands were killed in the ethnic cleansing in Bosnia in the 90s. Xenophobia has always been with us. In 1952, the American Psychiatric Association, and then in 1977, the World Health Organization, classified homosexuality as a mental illness. They have since changed their position. Of course, the WHO, the CDC, and Dr. Fauci all flip-flop like a pair of cheap shower shoes. Yes, science is ever-changing. In this world, the only constant is change. But some things never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Jesus said, "Follow me." After careful observation of the world and the study of the scriptures, my advice is, don't follow the science. Follow Jesus. This is Jim Barrier, and you've been listening to Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.